Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Happy Memorial Day, Johnny. How are you doing?
Good. And I think we should also say happy Memorial Day to our friend Richard, because, you know, remember, I'm just saying a shout. The person that's our friend Richard, who was on the show quite a bit, is in the Navy. He was in the Navy. So I think we should thank him for his service because it's Memorial Day. Don't you agree, Barbara?
Okay. Well, maybe our guest can enlighten us further about what exactly Memorial Day means, because I thought that was Veterans Day when we said happy Veterans Day. But Richard, he is awesome, you guys out there listening.
Oh, that's
You've probably
right.
heard him
oh,
on the
God,
show
I
every
forgot
Friday.
About that. I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Hold on, please. I haven't finished.
Sorry.
This gentleman who comes on Fridays sometimes is 93 years old. He's from Washington State, where I am from, and our guest, which we are going to be announcing in a second, is from. This guy I interviewed, and he has had an amazing life, was a instructor, professor of photojournalism at the UW for like 25 years and a veteran. So that's who we were talking about. So happy Memorial Day, Richard. All right, Johnny, are you ready to introduce our guest?
Yeah. Do you want to do it, Barbara?
No, I want you to.
Okay. Our guest is Deb Mattis from the Forks Police Department. And
Deanna DeMattis
from the Forks Police Department. How are you doing today, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Well, we're doing great, and we just want to thank you ahead of time for coming on, taking the time, because I know you're on an amazing vacation right now from Washington State. You're in the Big Apple, aren't you?
I am. It's very exciting here today. We walked in a parade with Rudy Giuliani.
The mayor?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We did a security detail with him today. The
you got
guardian
to meet
angel.
Him?
Protecting him a little bit.
Did you get to meet him?
What?
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Yes.
This is an interesting fact. I turned 2 days ago, and I share a birthday with him.
Oh, really? I heard he just turned 78.
That's right.
Johnny turned a big 5-0.
Oh, really?
So that is May 28th. That's cool. And he was out and about. And I know I actually acted surprised, but I knew that you guys did go and kind of protect him a little bit, didn't you, today?
Yes.
With the guardian angel,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, we did. We provided security for him and his son, who happens to be running for governor of New York State.
I think that's a good thing. I like him. And how cool was that? And it looked like such a beautiful day today in New York. And I can't wait till I get my chance at doing that as well. So let's focus on you now, Deanna.
Okay.
How long have you been working as a records technician for the Department of Corrections, a.k.a. prison?
A little over 10 years, about 10 and a half years.
You must be a tough cookie.
Well, you know, you've just learned to adapt like everybody else does. You adapt to your surroundings. And, I am a little on the tough side.
Haha, good. Well, you got to be on your toes. So would you describe, say a prisoner, an inmate had to describe you, would they describe you as cool, funny, stern, strict? How would they describe you?
I always try to be as nice as I possibly can to them because they respond to how you're treating them. But, you know, I am the man in this situation, and just don't pull any crap with me, and we'll be great. but I try to treat them with the utmost respect that I can because they are not used to be treated with respect.
That's true. And so then, like you said, you're going to get back what you usually give out, not
yes.
all, not at all times, but you're, I wouldn't say petite, you're normal. You're a normal,
I'm 5'2".
Gorgeous, blonde, wavy-haired blonde woman, too. So just for the listeners, you can imagine that, running a prison, making sure people don't escape, which they do all the time. I'm hearing this on the news all the time, and I hear helicopters, I go on Twitter, and, oh, inmate has escaped. You go in your house and you close the door. So tell us if anything like that has ever happened during these 10 years of watching these inmates.
Yes, we've had a couple escapes. We had some inmates over in Eastern Washington. We sent inmates to fight fires in Eastern Washington in the summertime. And we had a couple guys walk away from their firefighting detail because they weren't in a, you know, secure perimeter. And one of them happened to be a car thief, so it didn't take them any time at all to hotwire a vehicle and make a break for it down to Oregon. But, you know, the news, it got caught on the news, and one of the guys had an obvious tattoo on his face, and there's video surveillance everywhere. So it didn't take them too long to get caught.
How many were there that escaped?
Just two that particular time.
Do they go in separate directions? Do you think this is usually like a whim, or is this something that they really plan ahead meticulously?
In our case, we're 11 miles up into the mountains where we're at. It's super hard for them even to get to the highway, and then we're still in the middle of nowhere. So usually it's a whim. they see a chance and they make a break for it.
Oh, wow. You know, when I watch things like that on the news, there is a part, I think, of most human beings that are rooting for the underdog, which is probably so very wrong. Like, oh, gosh, get away, hide in a basement. I mean, I could probably do it. And your mind just kind of goes in that direction. I'm wondering, though, since you deal with these people every single day at work,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel? Are you feeling, oh, no, we got to get them, they're dangerous, or, oh, wow, I got to hand it to him, he got out? Is that funny?
It is funny. The camp that I work at, the inmates, the prisoners, they're closer towards the end of the sentence. So they're the less violent, and there's less motivation for them to escape because they're just about done their time. So I don't really think much way about it one way or the other when they leave. The very last person that we had escape, he had a bit of a lengthy sentence for shooting a person, and I thought he needed to be ashamed of himself for trying to escape and not doing his time like a grown man.
And also, how dumb. Hold on, Johnny. I just want to rebut on that really quickly, though. How long, how much more time would be tacked on once they got caught again for escaping? Like, that must be many years, like 6 more years or something, right?
No, it wasn't a whole lot of time. I would say maybe a year and a half. They just tacked it on to the end of his sentence that he was already. Yeah, it's Washington. We're liberal. We love crime.
Yeah, Washington. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, I was wanting to know how much of it is like the movies. I mean, do you ever watch the movies and think, okay, that's ridiculous? It would never happen like that in real life.
I think the movies are not accurate as far as what goes on inside of prison versus the kind of movies they make. Those are made for drama.
Well, Well, yeah, the real life would be so boring. Do you know how much waiting around time those people do? I mean, things move slowly. I mean, they got to keep it interesting. But that takes me to this other subject. You used to be a 911 answerer, technician, whatever you guys call yourself.
911 operator.
Okay, 911 operator. And before I let you take the floor on that one, I just watched a movie. I can't remember the title, but Halle Berry played a 911 operator. And, I mean, I was glued to the screen the whole time. So I'm wondering if you have seen that movie.
I have not.
Okay.
Now I have
probably
a question.
Really not anything like
I have a question when I'm able to. I mean, when you're done, Barbara.
Yes, you are able to now after I'm done with my sentence. Go ahead, John.
Okay. You know, it's funny about 911 because I was really thinking about this. I don't know if you know this, Barbara, but this is something that 911 operators are trained to do. Let's say that there is a lady that's in an abusive situation with her husband. What she will do is she will call 911, and then she'll say, "Hi, I'd like to order a pizza, please." And the 911 operator will be like, "Listen, you know, this isn't a pizza. This is 911." And the lady will hit back, "No, no, I really do want a pizza." And then what will happen is the 911 operator will be like, "Can you talk freely?" And then the lady will be like, "No." And then what she'll do is she'll answer questions as though to make it sound like she's giving an order for pizza.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like she will answer in code. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. I never had that particular call myself, but there was a gal that called one time for her boyfriend. She didn't know what was wrong with her boyfriend, and he was actually making some verbal suggestions to her, like he wanted to cut out her uvula and sleep with it, just pouring mind games with her. And she finally called 911 one day and was crying, saying, "I don't know what's wrong with my boyfriend." And he was calmly in the background, just, "What's wrong, honey? What's wrong?" And he flipped it on her. They came and got an ambulance for her. Supposedly, she was the one with the problem. But then when they got her aside, away from her boyfriend, she started opening up about the terrible things. She was about ready to lose it when she finally called 911. But he had such a strong hold over her, he still made it look like she was the one melting down.
Yes. And I think that when the police officers enter the home and say the 911 caller is not there anymore and the police officers are looking for the victim, sometimes they're just so brainwashed and so browbeaten that they cannot even squeak help because they are so afraid to do anything because maybe they've been in the dungeon for 10 years or something, you know? And that is so horrible because sometimes then they're not even found.
Yeah. She just cried and said, "I don't know what's wrong with my boyfriend."
And that's good that you didn't just think it was some kind of prank call. How much training does somebody have to have? I mean, I would love to have that job, but I don't know. Do I have to go to police boot camp and all that first?
Well, I was fortunate. I had on-the-job training, and they spent about 5 weeks with me, going over what it is you do. And then after that, there's this outfit in Burien called the Criminal Justice Training Commission that trains, 911 operators and police officers and corrections officers. And I went there a couple times and got trained up from them, too. So I had a couple of certificates I could show around.
Monroe Penitentiary, where we know who went there to high school, called us. Monroe Penitentiary, I was just perusing through YouTube, and I see that there was a correctional officer woman shot, I think maybe killed, and they escaped. Am I right about that?
I haven't heard that story in January of 2011. A corrections officer was assaulted. I believe he killed her by strangling her, and he was a life without parole already, so he did not escape.
Okay, so I had that escape part wrong, but so he felt like maybe he had nothing to lose. And what goes through your mind when you hear something like that? This is the job that you do, and it's a woman, and probably was targeted because that she was a woman. What went through your mind when you heard that? Did you think, oh, she did this and that wrong, and I would never do that? That wouldn't happen to me. Tell us.
She had managed to rub him the wrong way somehow. And when you're in that job and in that world, it's all about how you carry yourself around people and all about the verbal skills that you use in your interactions. That's your secret weapon. And I thought to myself, she did not use her verbal skills with these guys, just because you can't just be 100% gruff with them. You have to have a
gruff.
Little patience and come gruff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
right.
have to have a little patience and consideration, kindness. You can't treat them like things, or they're going to look at you as a thing and assault you.
Oh, yeah. And they're already mad. They're already living under horrible
yeah.
conditions. I mean, one blanket. Sometimes I think about that when I get into my cozy bed with all the pillows I like, where it's dark and quiet and perfect, you know, with my soft music and I'm alone and nobody's bugging me. And you never have that again, some of them. They're
right.
on this hard bed, maybe a roach nearby, one blanket, maybe not even a pillow. I have a girlfriend who has a boyfriend who's in and out of prison all the time. He just got kind of caught up in the system with, you know, car thieving and just things like that. But he's in and out all the time, and he says he's freezing 24/7 at the new prison he's at. Like, it's so, so cold. And I feel bad for him because he's a nice young guy. He's good looking. He's charming. He's smart. He just got caught up, and now he's in there.
Right.
Do you think,
right.
I mean, you know, are they treated in a way that's not humane?
I don't think they are at the prison I go to. Because mostly nowadays, there's so many watchdog groups and activists out there that are ready to come down on the prison system and make them the bad guy, that they really have to mind their P's and Q's with making sure the conditions are humane and the laundry's clean and the showers are hot and, you know, the temperature is okay. Yeah, we get expected, you know, and there's the American Dietary Association that we have to, you know, approve our meals through and just different things like that to make sure. And like the COVID, you know, we have to make sure everything's sanitary all the time and wear masks to keep the inmates safe from, you know, COVID.
Do they still have to wear masks?
So,
oh, miserable.
Yes, I still have to wear a mask at work.
Not you. Yours is clean, nice, everything. You get a fresh one. But what about them with all the masks? I bet you find masks everywhere around.
They get in trouble if they don't pick up. We find them out in the community, but the camp that I'm at, you know, they have custodians. You know, they have inmates that go around and clean, have jobs cleaning. They make sure it stays clean, and I'm not in the unit laying around.
What's
but,
the difference, Deanna,
yeah.
between a camp and a unit?
Well, our camp has three different units in it, three different sections that have inmates in them. The camp is the whole thing, And then the units are the individual pods. Or, you know what I'm saying?
I got
areas
it.
Of the camp.
I'm already drawing yeah. a diagram. I've got my round camp. I got my three pods. And it sounds like you guys run a tight ship, though. And it sounds like if I was an inmate, I'd want to be shipped to your prison. And what prison is this exactly?
I work at the Olympic Corrections Center.
Okay, Olympic. Is this in Olympia?
No, it's on the Olympic Peninsula, though. And we are in the shadow of the whole rainforest, literally. We're surrounded by mountains.
Well, that's beautiful, but also it breeds a lot of serial killers because it's so easy to hide the bodies. My dad taught me that years ago, that it's so easy to hide your murder victim in the woods, and they're not even found yeah. for sometimes ever.
Yeah, true.
Have you ever, before you ever were a corrections officer, technician. Did you ever think, I'm walking through the woods? Because you know how, being from Washington, we'd walk through the woods all the time, that you would ever run across a crime scene or a dead body?
I've always hoped that I wouldn't have that kind of encounter.
I would freak myself out thinking about that. You know, I would
yeah.
totally freak myself out walking through the field or the woods, like, oh, like, run. Somebody might get me. But I
yeah.
know not everybody has my mind. So what made
right.
you want to become one? How did this all evolve for you?
Well, the grocery store that I was working at went out of business in 1990. And I wanted to do something besides be a cashier, just something a little more fulfilling. And
yeah.
there was an opening that came up at the police department there in Forks where I live, and I just went for it. I applied and screened and took the polygraph and psych eval, and, you know, they hired me on. And I was there for about, yeah, I went to the Corrections Academy to be a corrections officer. And then I went to communications training so I could be a 911 officer as well. And I did that for about 6 years. And then in 2011, I hired on with the Department of Corrections and used my experience and knowledge from the police department to get that job, and now I push paper around.
Yeah, but this is going to be good for you because I can see
yes.
a good retirement fund for you putting forth all these years of dedication with this career, and good for
yes.
you. I am so
Thank
proud
you.
Of you, by the way, because I hear by the wayside through the years how you have been doing, and I'm very proud. And you also have
Thank
fought
you, Barbara.
Corruption. You're welcome. You have been a big one on fighting corruption. Is it hard to find a place to actually work in this field where the department is not corrupt?
It's hard to say because, you know, you get people at the top in these situations, and it doesn't mean they're good people. It just means they made it at the top. And I think there's good and bad wherever you go.
Like politics
you know?
Are
and,
everywhere you go, right?
Yeah.
You're probably more capable of handling the top job than the people at the top. So that could be frustrating, I imagine.
I would imagine so.
well, you don't have to get into it because I know that that was a long road for you and you fought that hard. And so when it's
yes.
facing you right in your face, corruption, and you see it so plain as day, and then you come forward, nothing seems to really happen. The next time it's in front of your face, let's hope it's not. What would you do? Would you do the same thing? Would you take the same actions, or would you say, nothing's going to happen, I'm just not going to say anything?
I would 100% do the same thing again.
Good.
Yeah, I would do it. I'd do it.
Because you do what's right, and that's your integrity.
Yeah, I try.
Without integrity, really, who are you? And that's what I tell my daughter.
Right.
She's 15 now. Tell the truth. You know right from wrong. You may ask, why does this matter? Well, because that right. is the true you, your soul, your heart, your mind. That is you. Integrity, that's everything. It's one of the big ones. So I am proud right. of you. And, hey, if anybody wants to look up all of your accolades, they can. Because you were all over the papers. I read them, and you did a great thing. I think that person is out. Anyway,
he is out.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. We don't have to get into all of those details because I want to get into some more juicy stuff about like the prisoners and the crazy things they do. And, for instance, is there such thing as the whole?
The whole, absolutely.
Ooh, tell us about the whole.
Yeah, it's slang. The official word is like segregation. They take you away from, you know, the general population, and they put you in solitary confinement, and then you're in the hole.
What's that like?
Or the bucket.
Can you describe it exactly? That like the even the feet, like what? Kind of cubicle are you in? Is it concrete, you know, et cetera?
Yeah. All the cells are cinder block, concrete floor, metal bunk bed, but it's no different than a jail cell. It's not any smaller or less light or anything like that, but you're confined to it and you're away from all the rest of the population. And that in itself just seems to be a punishment in itself for people. They don't like it.
Even if they have been getting beat up and harassed every day where they're scared to even move a muscle and they're just terrified. I can imagine, you know, a cute blue eyes and he's handsome. He's standing out, you know, and he's found himself there. And everybody is wanting to get in. Wouldn't he rather be in solitary confinement?
Yeah, they can request protective custody if they think they're in fear. Absolutely, they can do that.
You know, it's actually kind of fun because this is something that I've heard. Okay, you know, Muhammad Ali. The boxer, as I'm sure you've heard of, he was getting ready to fight Sonny Liston. And what happened was that before the fight, he was trying to find out, Sonny Liston was this really ferocious guy, and he was trying to find out a way to get in Sonny Liston's head. And apparently what he heard is that in jail, everyone is afraid of the crazy person. The crazy person is the one that everyone is afraid of. So when Ali fought Liston, he acted like he was nuts. So that by the time that Liston got in the ring with him, Liston was scared to death. Now, is that true that in jail, pretty much everyone is afraid of the maniac?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. You know, people are usually afraid of crazy, for lack of a better word, people.
Unpredictable. You don't know when your eye's going to get knocked out.
Yeah, unstable. You know, and unfortunately, sometimes there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else for these people to go when they're in jail, unless you can get them committed, which is a task in itself. You know, they just... And maybe they've lost it from drug use or something like that. And, yeah, there they are in jail. Not much else
harder,
to do about it.
Because I've heard, Deanna, sorry to interrupt, but I've heard that the mental institutions with bars on the windows and all that, that is even worse than just the regular prison. What do you think?
Yeah, because it's people that are mentally ill. And I think that would probably be worse.
And just being around that, because then you're pretty much thinking, well, here I am. I'm a part of this. This is me. I mean, it's got a wear and tear on you, and they're slobbering and they're yelling out uncontrollably. And no matter how much you tell them to be quiet, they don't know, and they just keep yelling and yelling. And I mean, I can imagine that would be probably worse. But I do know that some of the worst criminals, the one that killed his wife and little children, he requested to be in solitary confinement away from everybody who wanted to kill him. Do you think that people like pedophiles and children killers are spotted by people and they are going to get it? And if so, do they keep continuing to get it, or is one beating enough?
I don't know. That is true. They do not like sex offenders, people who harm children, and they will harm them if they find out about it. We've had guys request protective custody because they've been found out. So, yeah, it's a real thing.
Isn't it easy to find out what somebody has done?
You would think so. And it probably is. When they go to court, they all get their judgment and sentence that says what they did wrong on it, you know, the paper copy and how long their sentence is. But when they enter into the prison system, that gets taken away from them. Everybody's judgment and sentence gets taken away from them and put in their personal property, and that way the other inmates can't muscle them to find out what they did wrong. So if they think they're a sex offender, they're going to beat you up. So they try to make it hard.
Television, they are watching the news, and then all of a sudden the guy on the news is their bunkmate, and they're not liking it. I have a girlfriend who's pretty upset right now, because she had a case where she was fighting a pedophile type, and, well, a pedophile, actually, and they were supposed to do 10 years, and they got out doing 8 years for good behavior, but also because I've heard that they're just letting people out of prison early before it was crowded. I know here in L.A. County, it's one of the worst places you can be, because it's just like too many people crammed in there, and just very, very dirty and horrid, very horrible. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're letting people out. Well, hello, it's been a proven scientific fact that you cannot rehabilitate pedophiles. And so why would they let them out before even a wife murderer?
It's our liberal society. You know, if he's done his sentence and he's got good time coming to him, and especially if he's taken the programming that they offer him while he's in prison, because they offer a lot of treatment and programming, and then these guys take it and, you know, they try to prove that they've gotten better. And you can't hold it against them. You can't say, well, once a sex offender, always a sex offender. You have to err on...
Well, you know.
Wait, Johnny, hold on.
Sorry.
Do you, Deanna, have a personal opinion about that? If they personally can be rehabilitated, these pedophiles? I heard they cannot be.
I wouldn't think so. They have to want to change, and I don't know why they would want to change, because they enjoy what they're doing. So that's why they're doing it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, how do you think people? Oh, just a minute. One more thing. How do you think that these inmates are handling not being truly active as human beings? People want to do it. They want to have sex. So you cannot have sex. What if you're in there for 20 years? You cannot. How are they dealing with this? What kind of programs do they have for mental issues like dealing with that?
I don't know if they have any programs dealing with that particular thing. I know there's a lot of, you know, same-sex activity going on in the big prisons. At the camp that I work at, you know, they have extended family visits the inmates can do with their families or their wives. So that's how they get around it. And it's possible they do that at the prisons as well.
Oh, yeah. That's true. They do. A conjugal visit in trailer. I have a friend who, the one I was talking about, and the ex-husband / boyfriend in and out of prison. Well, at one point they let her go and actually spend a couple of days in a trailer, but the inmate has to come out, I think it's every 3 to 4 hours, just to show themselves. Oh my gosh, I don't want to be crude, but we are over 18, our audience here, we mark it as that. So she was having her menstrual cycle during these 2 days that she was visiting him, and she said the trailer looked like a crime scene. And for me, I think that just is funny. I think it's like a hilarious story. And her hair and the extensions, and they wouldn't even let her bring in a comb, obviously, because that could be a weapon. So, I mean, just picturing how this looks. Donnie, we don't need to guess who it is, please. Definitely, that's not the time to guess. This is not the time to guess who I'm talking about.
I wasn't guessing. I have a question. I was just guessing. But I wanted to ask you this question. This is something that I thought was kind of interesting. I used to work for customer service for Walmart. This isn't the tampon story, by the way, but I used to work for customer service for Walmart. And they told me that usually when a company is hourly, pay you hourly, they do background checks. Okay. Well, what had happened was that one of my friends who had worked in it told me that she had a friend of hers who had gotten hired after he had told them that he had got arrested for downloading child porn. And the thing is that it didn't make sense. And I'm sitting around here thinking, okay, what's the point of the background check? You know?
Right.
I don't get it.
Right. Well,
I don't get it. What? Of course they do a background check.
Yeah. You know, you do what you can. I guess a background check would show if you've been arrested or not. And like for me, when I worked at the police department, I had to take a polygraph and a psych eval along with that. But at the same time, as thorough as that is, If I were downloading child porn, they wouldn't have known unless somebody would have told them.
Yeah, see, what happened was I had heard from another person that there was somebody working for the company who had once been arrested for that. And I'm thinking, but if they do a background check, how would they even let him in? You know, just.
Oh, right. They wouldn't.
Well, undetected, like Deanna says, not everything on your record is showing up. I don't know, for whatever reason, it doesn't always. So, hey, just don't get into trouble, everybody. Listeners, please, mind your P's and Q's. Do the right thing. Don't go and steal or kill or, you know, do anything criminal besides maybe being late on your registration or something like that. We're all human, but just don't do it, because once you get in that system, it's kind of hard to get out, isn't it, Deanna?
Yeah, it'll follow you forever.
Oh, is it hard to get work after you get out, say Grand Theft Auto, you get out after a few years, you're young, those were very important years, still developing in the mind, you get out, and what are the statistics there to become successful?
Yeah, they don't have a lot of statistics. They don't have a lot of what am I thinking? It doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. You've got to keep your nose clean for a really long time to put that kind of thing behind you, and you have to work hard. And so often it's just so much easier for these guys to go back to what they were doing rather than try and get the job, you know, because it's going to take you interview after interview after interview, where in the meantime, you know, that car down the street that's just sitting there on the curb, that looks pretty good for, you know, some quick money.
Oh, yeah, and that's all they have. That's all they know. They may not even have any support system whatsoever, and now they're living in a tent under a bridge. So no matter even if they get a job at McDonald's, they're not going to ever catch up. I can see. So tell us about what you think about this big rehabilitation. I don't know anything about it. They're letting people out. There's programs inside. How often does it work for people?
Well, you know, in Washington, they're entering a new phase called graduated reentry, where they're letting more and more people out early as long as they're on electric co-monitoring. They have the ankle bracelet. And the argument is it's better for people to be on the outside with supportive people and family and structure and that sort of thing than it is for them to be locked up, stagnating, wasting the taxpayers' dollar. I feel like it's a gut punch when I watch all the inmates we're letting out loose onto the streets.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, because it just
we're
seems like
the ones paying for it. It's scary.
Right. It seems like the temptation is too great to just cut the ankle bracelet and go back to what you were doing.
Or try to get to another country. What if somebody does get over the border somewhere else, Canada, Mexico? Are they just free, or do they have to change their name? Are they going to be maybe found and extradited? Or once you get over the border, you're okay?
I kind of think once you get over the border, you're okay. I mean, the warrant would still be in there in the system, but I don't know if they would go all the way into another country just to drag you back. And unless you were somebody that had notoriety, I don't remember if you remember the frozen Chinese food, Mary Pang's frozen Chinese food. And he said their son set their company on fire, and four firefighters were killed.
Oh.
And he went down and hid in Brazil, and they went down to Brazil and got him. That was a long time ago, but that's an example of, you know, they went to a foreign country and extradited something. But
because
this guy had, you know.
Well, I was going to say, because these are our people that keep us safe. And when it comes to firefighters or policemen, people like that, they want to get justice for those families. So I can see that. Oh, my gosh. But if, you know, you kill the guy in the cell next door, sometimes we would probably never even hear about it. So I want to know, how is it for you? You must love your job. I know you. You wouldn't do anything that you don't like. So do you love it? Or are there times where you're just like, oh, this just sucks. This is just they're nasty. How dare they look at me or say that to me? Tell it.
I find it fascinating. I don't know why. I think probably because human behavior itself is so interesting to me. And I learned early on that, you know, they're humans. And so it allowed me to tolerate them and have compassion and just be in the environment where maybe somebody else can. It just doesn't bother me.
So do you sometimes take maybe a liking, like you have a kindred spirit with somebody, which is normal human nature, to have different kind of vibrations with different people? Do you then maybe go and look up? How hard is it to go look up? What did these people do? Is that easily accessible for you? And then if you do look at that and find out the info, does it change your mind about that human being?
Yes. Their information is at my fingertips. No, it does not change my opinion of them. The job that I have, I audit their sentence structure and make sure that what we have in our computer matches what's in written on their judgment and sentence. So
okay, so that's a big part of your certain job. As the record,
yes.
Obviously, the records, let's see, it's the records technician for the Department of Correction. Obviously, that you're the one. Dumb
yeah,
question.
I always
you're
know
the
everything
one.
They do. Everything they do, I know about.
Ha, ha, ha. Okay, so do you get the feeling, okay, if you read what they have done, in your mind as a human, do you judge them or do you kind of keep your heart open?
Well, the thing I look at it is when they're in my office with me, they're not the same person. They're not in that same mode of mind frame that they were when they commit whatever act it was. So I just tell myself, that's not who I'm dealing with. I'm not dealing with the guy that just got done beating his wife's senseless. I'm not dealing with that side of him. So I don't have to, it doesn't have to amount to anything in this moment that we're in right now. It's just you and me here, guy. You know what I'm saying?
So you have empathy. You have empathy for that individual.
I do. Sometimes they commit just terrible, terrible things. And they're the ones that have to live with what they've done, not me.
That's true. I think that you have so much material to write a memoir someday, and I hope you do. Have you ever thought of doing that?
Yes and no. I think back over my career, and there have been interesting stories, but I don't know if I have the energy that it takes.
Well, you need a little bit of time off before you dive into that.
Right.
I know. I get it, though. You can't even think
yeah.
about that. The energy level. Oh, yeah. My gosh. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what a wealth of information and experiences you've had. I do have an uncle who, when he was just starting out as a lawyer, his first client, and this was in Washington State, Eastern Washington, his first client was a rapist. I don't think a murderer, but he was a rapist, did tons of bad things. He was sentenced to 40 years. This guy just got out. He was reformed, and I do believe in being able to be reformed because of many stories. I just feel like you can be if you're not a pedophile. So he was reformed. He found Jesus. He had a girlfriend when he went in at this young age of like 19. They married. They had conjugal visits. They had children, grandchildren. He was the worst prisoner. He was the troublemaker. He was the drug addict. He was all the worst things. And he found Jesus, and he got completely changed almost overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my uncle wrote a book He wrote a book about it. It's not a very long book. This guy just got out. And, you know, I've had my uncle on. He was a professor at Gonzaga University as well. I had him on the show, and I just keep asking him, when can we have, you know, this guy on? And because he, when he got out, he was going to do all of this publicity about his story. You know, my Uncle George wrote the book. And then so when I was inquiring, he just was like, you know, Barbara, he just wants some time with his family. Well, I get it. I totally get it. Why relive it and relive it and relive it if you don't have to? But when it comes to witnessing to others, I think that is important. But I thought that was a crazy story, don't you?
Absolutely, yes.
It's pretty cool.
I would say it is amazing. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's amazing how some people can change. Like, for example, George Foreman, somebody I kind of look up to, you know, he said that when he was younger, he said that stealing people and stealing their purse and everything was like pulling apples off of a tree. He didn't think about it. And now he can't even curse or swear. He's this much more gentle guy. He's this. I mean, you know, it's like I've seen him once, he stopped a riot after in a fight, and he didn't throw a punch because, you know, the old him would have just decked everybody. But, you know, he was young and he did it, he was older, and he just is a lot more serene now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of like a dog, you know, like a dog that has been trained. Like, Johnny's really into boxing. A dog who's been trained to attack. But is that really, really their deep down nature? No, they're a dog. They're enjoying life. So you have to be careful, okay? When you have been an inmate, when you're dealing with a person who has committed these major, horrible crimes, yeah, give them a little bit of slack, but always be on your toes around them because you never know when something's going to trigger and boom, he's coming back at you. You got to be careful. You got to watch out. You know, I'd like to ensure that we stay in touch so we can always have you to lean on if we have questions about people who are around us, because I have so many people around that were criminals. But then I have a lot of them. I love some of them. I think they'll never do anything bad to me. What do you think, though? Is there always that chance, since they've done it before, they could do it again and watch out even more for these people? Or should we just treat them like the rest of the society?
Well, after they get out, I would treat them fairly, but be mindful. And do have your guard up, I would, because they're from an environment of dishonesty and, you know, they've been convicted of a crime.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I wouldn't hire them as a babysitter.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to just say, well, they learned their lesson, so they won't do that again. So we're good now.
In your household, Deanna, in your household,
okay,
what would you put anybody through, even a teenager, because we know that they're capable of horrific things? Would you do a background check? What would you do? Because a lot of people, the neighbor boy or the neighbor girl, they come over to feed the dog when I'm out of town. Is that okay just because you get a good feeling? Or is there something you want to tell the general public out there? This is what you need to do when you have anybody doing anything for you, like fixing the roof. Look at what happened in Salt Lake City and the most gorgeous upper-scale neighborhood ever, where the girl was taken from her room out of her window for 8 months. She roamed around. I can't remember her name. She roamed around with these people in capes, and was chained to trees. And
right.
Yeah, she wrote a book. Yeah. Right. Remember her? And she's so wonderful. Yeah. And she, you know, bounced back really well. But so they just thought, oh, I feel sorry for this guy. He's walking around. He needs work. I'm just going to let him be our handyman. Well, after a couple of weeks, he came back in the middle of the night and took their beautiful daughter, who was 14, out of her room.
Yeah.
And luckily they found her. But oh my gosh, they almost did it, because she's the one who couldn't even say, utter a word when the police were right there in front of her. Are you her? Are you her? And she couldn't even utter
right.
a word. She was so terrified of doing anything. So what would you, okay, back to my main question. What would you tell the general public, for instance, like me, a single mom of a teenager, how to vet these people who want to come in and, for example, take care of the birds?
Well, always research thoroughly whoever it is that you're going to get to, you know, take care of the bird. Is it somebody that you already know? Is it a friend of a friend? Or did you just pick them off the internet?
I got them off
and
of the neighborhood watch. I got them off the neighborhood watch thing.
Right. So just ask your questions. Meet the person first, get a feel for the person, you know, meet them in a public place for the first meeting.
I
don't let
that.
Them know where you live right away.
That's hard. Right. But I mean, I got lucky though, but some people are blessed with good intuition.
Yes.
Some people are oblivious to it. So luckily, I got this nice mom who wants her own cash, because the husband, you know how husbands are, if they're the breadwinner, they might just give a few hundred bucks a month to the wife. Well, she wants her own cash. So she goes around and does these little things like helps with pets. So I met her. I saw her teenage daughter. I found out where they went to school, where they lived, da 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 da. But first person, I wasn't very careful. I was desperate because we were going out of town and I needed a bird sitter. She came over here. She was nuts. I thought she was so nice. I think she looked around the house and she may have seen a Bible. She starts talking about Jesus. You know, they'll look around and they'll try to, you know, go get on your page, right? Well, I came back from my trip. I called her. I said, where is the bird seed? There was a huge bag of bird seed. It's not here. Thinking, well, where is it? She then couldn't lie to asking questions. She actually took my birds in her car to her own home. That wasn't part of the agreement.
Wow.
And it might sound trivial, but these birds, if you move their cage a centimeter, they freak out. And my daughter and I are thinking, okay, you took these birds into your car, drove them. They must have been out of their mind, freaking out. How dare her? And then this letter opener that looks like a knife, very long silver thing that I got in Taipei, Taiwan, which I hold very dear to me, it was just gone. It was missing. Thank goodness.
Uh-oh.
I wasn't too shy to ask her, did you see this? I mean, the house was so perfect. It was right on my desk. She goes, I wondered where that went. I wondered where I got this. I saw it in my purse. I took it out and I thought, where in the heck did this come from? Oh, thank God you told me. And I go, that is an artifact from my travels. I really, you know, it's special to me. Well, she was so absent-minded that she just put it in her purse. I believe her. She looked at it and then, you know, forgets what she's doing. She put it in her purse. Well, she brought it back, thank goodness. But for heaven's sakes, what an odd thing, right? What an odd thing.
You don't always know about people.
And she never would give the key back to the main gate, which is not my front door, but the main gate. So she has access to this apartment complex. She knows what she's doing. I feel stupid, really. I feel ashamed of myself for not looking into her. Who in the heck are you? More, but you're just saying, hey, meet them a couple times. I mean, unless we want to pay the $35 for a background check, which can be very expensive, that's all we really can do, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, word of mouth through your friends, I would say, is the best way to go. But that's just me personally, my opinion on the subject. Usually the best way to get a recommendation on somebody is from somebody else you already know.
That's good advice. That is very, very good advice. So I have one last question, but before I ask mine, I'm going to let Johnny ask his last question.
Okay.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Okay.
The, you know, it's funny. I mean, I was commenting on the movies again, like the movie Star Crazy. I mean, what do you think is the one thing, you didn't really elaborate on this earlier, but what do you think is one thing that movies get wrong as far as like prison is concerned?
I think movies get, they over-dramatize everything in the movies. The units aren't that dirty and filthy. There is drug dealing that goes on, but not all the corrections officers are on the take. You know, a lot of them are just honest people trying to make a living. There is violence that goes on in them. There's gang activity. They get that right. But I would just say overall, the movies, they just overly dramatize everything.
In other words, it's like if it were a real prison, it wouldn't happen like that. Because, like there's a couple of movies that I've heard. One is The Longest Yard. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. And it's like, I honestly, you know, my suspicion is that most wardens are not like the warden, the movie, the person in the movie The Longest Yard. Because, you know, the truth is there are crooks there. And it's obvious, and I'm not saying that this is every case, obviously, but what I'm saying is there are people that go to jail and turn their lives around. So it's kind of like, and in the movie The Longest Yard, the Eddie Albert character, he just pretty much assumed that nobody was worth, that they were worthless, you know. And realistically, you know, the Burt Reynolds character would have gotten out in a month or so, in a couple of, you know, would have gotten out in a couple of months or something. But,
Well, and in that movie in particular, that the one thing that would never happen where I work is the staff would never play football against the inmates.
That would never happen in a million years. Why is that, though? What would happen if they did? Or
it's just don't. You just don't. You're just not on that level with them socially, I guess you would say. You're not on a level of competition with them on one-on-one, where we're all guys here.
And also, it would be seen as illegal. It would probably be, the higher-ups would not even allow it, because then it would come across as brutality, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you wouldn't want the inmates to be in a situation where they can tackle a staff member, because they try to do it as hard as they possibly could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All or nothing. I'll tell you how I look at it. I look at it like, do you let your pit bull sleep right next to you on your pillow? Well, if you are training it wisely, no. And it's quite happy at the base of your bed, not on the bed, but on the floor next to your bed. I have researched this, because if you bring that trained dog up to your face in its mind thinking, okay, now we're equal, but we're not equal, because deep down I've been trained to overtake everything. Same right with the inmates. If you get so closely entwined like that, especially in a competitive atmosphere, it's not smart at all. So I get that. definitely. My last question, before though, I did find that movie, Halle Berry. It's called The Call. That's it, if you want to check it out in your free time.
Okay.
The Call. I love her. I
mean, okay.
It was pretty good. And my question is, well, you've been doing this position for 10 years, but before that prior, you've been involved in this field. So how many years total have you done this? And how is your family dealing with it? Are they concerned, or are they must be obviously proud of you. Tell us just that, and then we'll close the show.
Collectively, I have been in the field for 17 years, 20 years since I first started at the police department. My family thinks it's great. And, even if they didn't approve, they know I'm crazy. So just get out of her way and,
in a good
get
way.
Out of her way. Yeah.
I love that. It's always good to have support, and I know you have a very huge family of amazing individuals. So that's so good to hear. Well, I'm proud of you, and I'm so thankful and grateful, and I know Johnny is as well, that you came on and spent this hour with us. Is there anywhere
that you want
to be reached, or are you like my best girlfriend who doesn't do social media?
I am like your girlfriend who doesn't do social media.
Okay. Then another
I know,
I
could give you an email address later, but I don't have a
cell phone
either.
Yeah, well, that's just for me. I meant for the with the listeners, you know. Some people want
to come on
the show to self-promote, and you were here merely just to give advice and info and stories, and it was so super interesting. You don't even know how much I was into watching everything I could get my hands on about prison life. I don't know why, and I was even trying to think about what's wrong with me. I felt like, am I going to go to prison someday? My intuition is like needing to hear all about what it's like for prisoners. What is it like for jail? You know, what is the life like? I couldn't get enough of it. I think that it was just something maybe interesting to me for a while. But
it is interesting. Yeah, it is interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you with the psychology of it. It is human behavior is quite fascinating. So thank you, Deanna, so much. Deanna,
you're welcome, Barbara.
Oh, yes, and I can't wait till maybe we all can see each other all together sometime.
Right.
Sometimes you sound just like my best friend since you're sisters. Because she's a private person. I don't mention names. We're on air. We're live. And, you know, she knows who she is. You know who she is.
Right.
But sometimes
throughout
this hour. Yeah. Do I sound the same, Deanna?
Do. Yes. And I've been hanging out with I think you do.
Sometimes I listen to myself back and I sound just like my mom.
Oh, right. Well, you know, we always sound different to ourselves when we hear ourselves.
True.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you a wonderful rest of your trip in New York City, the Big Apple. And I'm glad you're enjoying
yourself.
So and then, yes, and when you get back to our lovely hometown of beautiful green Washington State, may God bless you.
Thank you so much, Barbara. It was a pleasure.
The pleasure is all ours. What do you say, Johnny?
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Johnny.
Good night, everybody. Thank you, Johnny, and thank you, listeners. Good night.
Good night.
Happy Memorial Day. Bye-bye.